So we've been in the book of Revelation, and I just started realizing, you know what there's a lot of in Revelation? Well, there's a lot of hard stuff to understand in Revelation. You know what else there's a lot of in Revelation? There's a lot of angels, and it's Christmas time. So let's take a little bit of time to talk about angels. Not everything there is to say about angels. We're not going to get into all of the different names they're called. We're not going to get into the hierarchies. We're not going to do a theological exposition of angels, but we are going to talk about angels and Jesus. I came in this morning and Tartan told me that he read on Twitter this week, someone tweeted, "The Bible has surprisingly little to say about angels." So there you go, folks. I've got about 5 minutes ahead of me now to exhaust all the Bible has to say about angels. I just want to say, you seem to have read surprisingly little. But anyway, but you know what? Maybe it doesn't tell us everything we wish we knew, right? Don't you wish you knew more? I mean, I'm looking at it this week going, this is wild. We'll see here in just a moment. Some of the things these angels can do, and we looked at this last week. We're dividing this up. Last week was angels in worship, and we looked at the times in Scripture in the Psalms and then the Christmas story, and then at the end of the story, just it seems as if the angels are just constantly in a place of worship and praise. Seems like what they do best. And Christmas is a time of music, right? You go into Home Depot and it's Halloween and Christmas at the same time. But when the music kicks in, that's when it's happening. And so Christmas is about singing, but there's also angels everywhere. And we bring the two together and we realize just how much, not only do we sing about angels, but we sing songs about angels singing. Amazing thing, right? And so we hear stories from missionaries about these amazing angel stories, and we're just amazed by them, even though we don't fully understand them. But we're going to look at today, stretching this out, from the birth to the life, to the death, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the return of Jesus. The angels are involved in every bit of that story. There's angels, and the word means messengers, and so today we're going to see them messaging, delivering messages, and they're just living out their name in our text this morning with the birth of Jesus, and their familiar text. But we want to go back and look at them. And I told you last week, and I want to tell you again today, my goal again is not to tell you everything theologically you need to know about angels. My goal is not to expound the doctrine of angels. My goal is just for you to be encouraged that there are, as Hebrews 1, as we'll come back to later, there are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. You've been served this week by angels, I guess. Didn't say how often they serve you. Maybe you were served this morning. I don't know. And I said last week that preachers have this bad habit. We tend to over-exhort and under-encourage. And so this morning, I just want to spend time encouraging you. And we just want to ask two questions this morning as we go through this text and think about what's going on here. Number one, who in the world is it that gets all this attention from angels? What must he be like? And number two, if they showed up and wanted to tell you something, what might they tell you? I had so many texts, I couldn't fit them all in YouVersion, so we're just going to have to follow along here. But really, it starts before Jesus, and it starts before his birth. It actually starts before his conception. As a matter of fact, it starts even before that. And I caught it in one of the songs we sang this morning. There was a survey that came out this week that talked about the growing number of people who say they are Christians who do not believe that the Son of God existed before he was born. That, like, he came into existence at Christmas. And yet, right there hidden in that song, did you hear it? "Mild he laid his glory by." Wait a minute, Jesus did something before he got here? Yeah. "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing," right? "Made himself a servant, took on a body, Right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. So Jesus didn't just get thunk up at Christmas time. So we're already in mystery level here, that the Word became flesh and he didn't show up as a 30-year-old guy. He showed up as a baby. But the angels did not show up to Mary first. They did not show up to Joseph first. They showed up at Jesus' cousin's house, or his future cousin's house, I guess we should say. John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, he's a priest. He's in the temple. He's older. He's childless. He's been praying for children, he and his wife. And an angel shows up in the temple while he's in there serving. He's chosen by lot. Like, this is his big moment. And the angel shows up and says, "Hey, your prayer's been heard." Okay. It's Gabriel. So, like, this is, let's pick one of the ones with a name. I was telling someone I saw a painting this week and Gabriel was a girl. And I was like, "Ah, it's Gabriella." Gabby. But Gabriel shows up and says, "We've been listening. You've been childless, and you're gonna have a child, and you're gonna name him John. His last name's gonna be the Baptist." And that's not true. He didn't say that. And he's gonna go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This sounds just like he got this out of the Hebrew scriptures, doesn't it? This is new covenant stuff. God's going to turn the hearts of children to the father and the fathers to children. And this is big stuff. I'm sure Zechariah caught that, but he couldn't say it because he was struck speechless for going, "Are you sure about this?" Right? And he's like, "Really?" And yeah. So at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, you realize something big is happening because angels are showing up to announce things. We haven't heard from a prophet in 400 years. And suddenly, there's an angel on the scene. And then later on in the same chapter of Luke chapter 1, we find Gabriel again. This time it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And we know what's going to happen. The Proverbs tell us the incredible value of a faithful messenger, right? The Proverbs also tell us how much people hate it when they send an unfaithful messenger who doesn't deliver the message. So these messengers are coming straight from God, and they're going to say exactly what God wants them to say. And so this angel shows up to a virgin named Mary. She's engaged to Joseph, descendant of David. Oh, there's more going on here. And he says to her, he just shows up and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. You who are highly, highly favored one. Greetings. Howdy. The Lord is with you." And it says, Mary was troubled at his words. So an angel shows up. "Greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." And I just kind of wonder as she's going, I mean, okay, an angel showed up and told her this. Okay, you've got to be freaking out already. But then it's like, wait a minute. Is this one of those good news, bad news situations? Like, we started with the good news. What's this angel about to tell me? And Gabriel, I don't know if he can read thoughts. He's looking at her and he says, whoa, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And you're going to be a child and you give birth to a son and you're giving him the name Jesus. And he will be called Great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Well, that's a lot to take in. So she asks this question. Well, how will this be? I've never been with a man before. That's a good first question. You know, do angels know how this works? Right? I mean, that's a lot. And it's obvious God has planned this. And by the way, Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. So these people were familiar with old age birth miracles, right? They knew the stories. So here's another old age birth story, but this is a new one. This is a new one. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary just says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. My word, what an answer. So here we have Mary, perplexed, alarmed. Gabriel's here. Why are you? After all these years, 400 years, no prophet. Why didn't God send a prophet? Right? Why not some guy with a really cool Old Testament name? Why not a prophet? Thus says the Lord. Prophets told the future sometimes, right? What news is so big it requires Gabriel to tell it? I guess it would be safe to say that an angel ups the ante of believability just a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, look at that news. And then in Matthew we read, again, Mother Mary, Joseph. Mary tells Joseph the news. Joseph knows how this works. Joseph's got a pregnant fiance, knows the baby isn't his. Joseph's a good guy. I don't want to make a big public stink out of this. We'll just quietly divorce her, go back to my life, and she can. And an angel shows up. Again, not a prophet, not a cousin, nothing. Just, it's an angel again. And guess what? Four words he says. Do not be afraid. Seems to be one of angels' favorite messages, doesn't it? Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she shall give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. She's ultrasound. They didn't exist. He knows it's going to be a boy already. Talk about a gender reveal, right? An angel. And there is an interesting difference here. It says in Mary's story that God sent the angel to Nazareth, but that Gabriel appeared to Joseph in a dream. He commuted for Mary, that he was able to do distance work. He worked from home for Joseph. There you have it, folks. It's the first time we ever had this in history. Sometimes you commute, and sometimes you work from home. He was able to work from home with Joseph, and he just appeared in a dream. And that'll be the pattern. Don't know why. Don't know why. But isn't it amazing that an angel can appear in a dream? Joseph needed an angel, not a prophet. So God sent an angel. And he starts again with, do not be afraid. And I love this. Basically, it's, Joseph, you know what you've been called to do. Don't be afraid to do it. Wow. And then we have the story of the shepherds. We talked about this last week, but let's go over real quick. They're out in the dark. It's night. An angel appears. He's glorious. He's shiny, right? And they were terrified, because if you're sitting in the dark with other shepherds and sheep, and we're like, there's no like light pollution. They're not near Houston. It's dark. And suddenly it's not dark. Then you get terrified. Don't be afraid. That's three. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then it says, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You know what is missing? I just want to throw this out there. This is very interesting. I always pictured the angels in the sky, but it doesn't say that. It just says they were around them. I think it would be just as cool if, like, they were standing on the ground, surrounding the shepherds, like 200 deep, like out into the dark, and you could just hear their voices. That would be cool, too, just saying. Again, angels. And it's like this exclamation point. I have an angel, but you know what you need? You need a choir. Singing choirs of angels, right? What an amazing moment. And then they just leave. How do angels leave? They just, I guess, just disappear back into whatever dimension they came from. But angels don't freelance. Angels don't freelance. Angels tell what God told them to tell. And the shepherds did what the angels said. And there's an interesting pattern here in all three of these stories that all four, go back to John the Baptist. We talk about, you know, cute little chubby Hallmark type angels, right? Like you just want to squish their cheeks, their little cheeks. There's nothing terrifying about them. And we always show when an angel shows up, he says, don't be afraid, right? So I believe if all the lights were out and an angel showed up in here, we would all lose it a little. But all the angels said, do not be afraid. And you know what's amazing is they always follow do not be afraid immediately with for or because do not fear is tied to the message they have to bring, not just to their appearance. Don't be afraid. This is from God and this is what he's doing. Don't be afraid to do what you've been called to do. Do not be afraid because you are favored and the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. It's going to be a boy. We've already named him. It's going to be taken care of, right? Don't be afraid. It's like all this time passes, all this time between Malachi and Matthew, and angels show up. So, in Matthew, you have wise men. They visit. Herod's mad because they want to know where the newborn king is. And guess what? Jesus is born, and there's more angels. Because Herod is so paranoid, and he had told the magi, the wise men, go find him, come back and tell me. Guess what? The wise men were told, go back a different way, don't go see him. So Herod's like, okay, I'm just going to kill all the little boys, two and under. He's doing the math. He's trying to figure this out. And did the star appear when Jesus was born? Did the star appear with enough time for them to get there when he was born? How does this math work? It doesn't matter. Two and under. We'll just go two and under. And it says again, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So that seems to be the pattern with Joseph. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. So Joseph's like, okay, at some point in Egypt, I'm going to have another dream and this guy's going to be there again. Herod's searching for the child to kill him, and he got up and they took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed till the death of Herod. So it was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Not the first time God has called people out of Egypt, right? There was a big Twitter fight last year because somebody posted, let's not forget that Jesus was an immigrant in Egypt. It's like, well, I never thought about that. And everybody's like, no, it wasn't. That was more like moving to Oregon, not Mexico. It was like, well, they spoke a different language. Oh, this fight going on, right? Maybe Maybe the wise men were there to fund the trip. You know, it's... I mean, when Jesus was a kid, he would have had just one of those cool stories. Yeah, I spent my first however many years in Egypt. Ooh, you lived in Egypt? Yeah, I did. Angel told us to. You know, I don't... And they didn't look the same in Egypt, and they didn't worship necessarily the same in Egypt. There were Jews there, synagogues there, but it's different in Egypt. Egypt's very different. And they stay there. And maybe you think to yourself, you know what? The angel could have made it so that they just hid Jesus. Or it could have been like one of those cool missionary stories where the angels surround the house and fight off the soldiers. They could have done that too, which would have been an awesome story to have in your Bible. And the angels fought off the Roman soldiers. Or just stood there and intimidated them. Either way, that would have been awesome. And you have to admit this as well. Wouldn't nativity sets be really cool if that had happened that way? Right, your nativity set would have all these angels around it, and there would be these Roman soldiers over there looking all mad or scared, right? There'd be a lot more pieces involved. But so they could take off to Egypt, and yeah. All of that. And here's the other thing about angels and the birth of Jesus. It's just prophecy after prophecy and tie-in to Old Testament scripture after tie-in. And when they come back, they go to Nazareth, which Nathaniel reminds us isn't exactly a metropolis of high culture. Somebody good's coming out of Nazareth? Well, it's where the angel told them to go, right? Those of you who've been to Nazareth, it's still that way. Yeah, we like drove by it on a bus, and the guy was like, hey, that down there, that's Nazareth. Yeah, it's not that nice, is it? Yeah. They'll go to Nazareth after dark kind of thing. All these prophecies, all these places and times and the names and the angels, it's like God is directing the story, and he's sending these incredible messengers down to come to the people who are integral to the story, and it's just like they're part of directing the story. To where, oh no, he's going to go here, and then he's going to go here. Yeah, you're going to go there, and this is going to happen. You're going to fix this relationship, and then we're going to go here, and this guy's going to come before him. He's going to be John. It's like God is sending these directors onto the stage to get things going, like, in the right way. Because prophecy's been given, and God is going to make sure... God's not going, ooh, I hope this goes the way I predicted. You know how predictions go sometimes. No, no, no. God knows this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, what was the word? It must be happen this way. The word must is used. Must. So let's just finish this up with two ideas, two sets of encouragement, right? And each set gets a verse. One set is angels and us. The other set is angels and Jesus. Let's start with angels and Jesus. Let's do this backwards, I guess. And the verse I want to give you is Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or dominions, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He made these beings, and they exist for him. And they know that, right? These angels exist for Jesus. They're doing what God wants them to do. So when you say, who is this baby born in Bethlehem that gets all this angelic attention? Who must he be? Who is this king that we saw last week? The words myriads of myriads, ten thousands of ten thousands. What did we come up with last week? 100 million? My goodness, who commands an army like that? Man, isn't it amazing to Christmas music about the Son of God plays in public places. Who is this baby? He must be someone amazing. Yeah, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And we named him Jesus because he's going to save people from their sin. Oh yeah, and he's fulfilling all these prophets. Who is he? That's who he is. And you can't get away from it. It's everywhere. Just point that out, right? Then I want to go back again to Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? If you plan on inheriting salvation, you have angels ministering to you, serving you. So let's take Gabriel. If Gabriel came to you this afternoon and he greeted you, let's say he commuted. He didn't come in a dream. He commutes to Texas. I'm sure the angels like it here. Remember what he did first with Mary? He told her who she was. Hey, beloved of God, highly favored one, God is with you. And if Abraham were to show up to you like he did with Joseph and told him not to be afraid to do what he knew God wanted him to do. Gabriel's just a messenger, incredible messenger he may be. I'm no angel, I'm just a goofy guy with a Bible, but... Do you believe that he would tell you something very similar? Hey, don't be afraid. Just came to tell you you're loved. Just don't be terrified. I just want you to know you are beloved of God and he's with you. Don't fear. You've been called to him. You've been called to serve him. Don't be afraid to do what you know he's called you to do. Not because you're good enough, because Jesus is good enough. Not because of any sacrifice you've made, right? Because the ones he made, and we'll see next week they were there for that. Not because of your victory, but because of his victory. You are loved. You are called to him. He is with you, and there are still angels ministering to you today. The Bible says it. Do not fear. The one who commands all those angels says this about you. Just read Ephesians 1. Right? What does it say? In love, he predestined us, called according to his purpose. Then it says we're forgiven. Then it says we're adopted. It says we've been sealed with his spirit. Just on and on and on, Paul piles up all of these things we are because the one who commands 100 million or more angels says this about you. So if the angels could just, hey, I need to go tell that one. She doesn't seem to believe that she's beloved today. She doesn't seem to believe that she's favored by God. In the story of your life up to this point, do you ever wonder how my angels might have been involved in your story? Because God didn't stop directing the story at the end of this. He's still directing the story. Can you maybe imagine how many times you've been served by an angel because you're highly favored with the angel's boss? Because you're called by the angel's boss? Could it have happened today? See, next week, angels came and strengthened Jesus. Have there ever been times in your life when you were just weak and broken and feeling helpless, and did this seem like God gave you strength? Could that have been an angel serving you? Wow, right? I'm not saying they're going to start showing up in dreams. Though Alan has a really cool story about a guy he knew who worked at the airport in Turkey. And dreams. Don't look at me like that. You told me this story. So ask Alan. He'll tell you all about this. It's a cool story. It's an awesome story. Is it not?
Yeah, but you're going to tell me.
the guy from Colombia who would sit in the airport in Turkey, and when these immigrants from these Muslim nations would come in, he would ask him, raise your hand if you've ever had a dream. You remember telling me that story now? It's okay. Yeah, and all these people would raise their hands. Yeah, I've had one of those dreams. Step into this room. Let me tell you about Jesus, right? So I'm not saying that's going to happen for you, but in places where people have no access to a church and no access to anyone to tell them a gospel, stuff happens, and angels just do what they're told, right? I'm telling you, folks, there's a story, and it's unfolding, and God has servants, and they're serving you. So let me pray for us this morning. Will you join me? God, I don't know how everybody came in here feeling this morning. Goodness. I don't always feel beloved. I certainly don't always act beloved. Sometimes I fear the calling you've placed on my life. Sometimes I'm terrified of it. And Lord, I have no doubt that the people in this room, they're people like me. And maybe we just had a bad week. Maybe somebody in this room just messed up more than once. Just blew it. Or maybe they've just been down all week. Bummed. Maybe they've just been afraid. Maybe they've felt alone. Nobody cares. Lord, would you come by your Spirit to sink this and settle this into our hearts? If Gabriel were here, he would echo these words. You're loved. You're loved by God. You're loved by my commander. You're favored. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Lord, if there's ever been a problem I've had in my life, I've been afraid of this, that, and the other. Don't be afraid. There's good news about who Jesus is and who you are in him. God, would you remind us of this good news today and all throughout this week, and we just fear starts creeping in, and the aloneness, the loneliness creeps in, and we just wonder if we're somehow, our chapter got left out of your story, and our chapter somehow is just messed up and has been edited out. Lord, I thank you that this week your angels will serve my brothers and sisters in this room. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Give us courage. Give us what these candles represent. Give us hope. Give us peace. Give us joy. Because you've already given us Christ. And in him we have everything we need for life and godliness. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's who we are. That's who he is. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome Savior you are. And thank you for laying your glory Christ's name.